The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors. Welcome to the Forum for Nonprofits, presented as a public service by the Beasley Broadcast Group, hosted by a representative of the Spirit of Giving Network. To volunteer for the Spirit of Giving Network, call 561-385-0144. Now, here's today's show.
Welcome, nonprofit community. Thank you so much for joining me today. This is Kara Zimmerman, and thank you, Spirit of Giving Network. You come through every week for us, and I'm so grateful that you allow me to interview such wonderful nonprofits in our community doing incredible work that most of the time we don't hear about, the wonderful work that they do. And today, great organization, Habitat for Humanity. We have Jeremy Montgomery, Chief Operating Officer, right?
That's right.
And I'm so grateful that you came, and I know how busy you are, always a nonprofit, but this is I really appreciate you sneaking us in today, and I'm so interested in hearing about Habitat for Humanity. I see your restores, and we've donated some things, my husband and I, when we moved. We gave a lot of furniture and tools to the restore in our area, and it was a wonderful thing to do. So, again, thank you for coming, and Jeremy, tell us a little bit about Habitat for Humanity.
Well, again, such a pleasure to be able to be here. Thank you very much for inviting me on.
Yes.
Habitat for Humanity.
That's a mouthful, by the way.
Habitat for Humanity.
Humanity makes you have to slow down. And
very slow.
Say it.
That's right. So I am incredibly privileged to be able to call this both my career as well as my calling. And so I always love talking about Habitat, and I think that's what allowed you and I to be able to cross paths initially.
Absolutely.
So, Habitat for Humanity, most people have heard about. We are certainly a nonprofit that people respect and trust, but oftentimes people don't really understand how Habitat operates and how we are structured.
And trust, yes.
And how we are able to serve our communities. And so even just referring back to the respect and trust, I mean, the Harris Poll that comes out every year, for the last 2 years, Habitat for Humanity has been voted as the nation's most trusted and most respected nonprofit brand in the United States.
That's huge.
It is huge. And so for me, it's what kind of is behind that, that people don't understand, is how Habitat's structured and what kind of makes us then to be the United States' most trusted, respected brand. So sitting here today, I am the Chief Operating Officer of Habitat for Humanity of Broward here in South Florida. So there are 1,400 affiliates in the United States. So being the Chief Operating Officer of Broward, that makes me the COO of one of 1,400. And so altogether, Habitat for Humanity has an influence, therefore, in 1,400 communities all throughout the United States. And in addition to that, Habitat works in about 70 countries. So you can put your finger on a map almost anywhere in the world, and there is a Habitat affiliate that often operates there. And so even just in terms of the history of Habitat, Habitat was founded in 1976. And so it relatively is a very young organization. And since 1976, 9.8 million people have received the benefit of Habitat's programs and outreach efforts. So even to say, so what happened in 1976, just to confirm a typical myth, President Jimmy Carter did not found Habitat for Humanity. Most people kind of assume that that's where Habitat's origin lies. In fact, we say that President Carter is Habitat's most famous volunteer, and that's really what he is. He's a volunteer, so he got involved in supporting Habitat for Humanity in about 1984. So if you remember your history, that was at least 4 years after his presidency ended in about 1979, 1980. So Habitat was founded in 1976 by a Christian missionary couple And their name was Millard and Linda Fuller. And the Fullers were from southern Georgia. And so that's actually how President Carter and his wife learned about the work of Habitat for Humanity. And so Millard and Linda Fuller, originally before Habitat, and they founded Habitat, they were missionaries in current-day Democratic Republic of Congo. And so many years ago, that was the country of Zaire. And so the typical Habitat trivia is, where was the first Habitat house built? The trivia technically is in Zaire, and now what is called the Democratic Republic of Congo. And if you know anything about even what that country looks like today, it's a rough place. And so early in their missionary career, they took this concept that they learned from another pastor in South Georgia by the name of Clarence Jordan. And so Clarence Jordan, he formed what is still today called Koinonia Farms and Koinonia Ministries in southern Georgia. And Pastor Clarence Jordan had this goal of wanting to bring together blacks and whites. And his goal was to be able to have a racial reconciliation message, to be able to say, hey, one thing that we can agree upon is that we can all pick up hammers, and we can swing them, and we can build shelter, because whether you're black or white, rich or poor, we can all agree everyone deserves a decent place to live. And so that was Clarence Jordan's mission. And so the concept being that, and again, you know, in the South, in southern Georgia, that typically blacks needed shelter and decent housing. And so in order to be able to build that housing, they certainly weren't going to give away the houses. And so that was where the whole concept of, even today, Habitat for Humanity, we call it partnership housing. So even today, the houses that Habitat builds aren't free. We say, and so even everything that you're, you know, hearing and that you would walk away with understanding Habitat, we say that Habitat is a hand up, but not a handout. In many respects, we don't even call Habitat for Humanity charity. Charity is often when we, you know, provide a give out or a handout to people in need. So, for example, right after Hurricane Irma here in South Florida and throughout, you know, the Caribbean islands, and even, you know, Hurricane Harvey just before that in Texas, you know, in times of disaster and times of crisis, handouts are very necessary. They're required both for us to serve humanity and for us to be able to, you know, reach out to humankind. Well, Habitat for Humanity, our philosophy is that despite crisis and perhaps even outside of realms of natural disaster, what most people are looking for is not a handout. They don't really want to be the subject or the object of our charity. But what do they want? They want ownership. So in this case, home ownership. And they would love to be in partnership with a nonprofit to build for themselves strength, stability, self-reliance, independence, and to be empowered then to be able to provide for their families. And so that's kind of the essence of partnership housing. It's not a handout. It's a hand up. And so when we finish the house, the family then obligates to us to pay back the cost of that house. And so to this day, of course, we call that a mortgage. We call that a loan. So Habitat for Humanity, since its founding in 1976, is a financial institution. We are the banker. We are the mortgage holder or the mortgage lender, and we service that mortgage for the full term of for its full term. So in most cases, that's 20 to 30 years. So to this day, Habitat for Humanity is subject to Dodd-Frank regulation, in which we have to be able to honor the Consumer Protection Act and to be able to then grant those loans and those mortgages compliant with federal law. So just like with a Chase or Wells Fargo or anyone else there out there, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, anyone else out there servicing and providing loan product for home ownership, Habitat for Humanity is also obligated. So these aren't free homes. It's not charity. It's a hand up. And so when we sell the home, and this is the distinctive for Habitat for Humanity, is first of all, again, there's a lot of nonprofit affordable housing developers out there, but they're not generally providing the loan product to where, you know, it's an affordable house, but families still have to bring to the closing table their third-party lending, such as from a Chase, or just fill in the gap, and from other third-party lending. So we service families because then they don't have to go out and shop for that. So the loan that we provide to them from its very beginning is a 0% interest mortgage. And so the Judeo-Christian philosophy behind that is the aspect that we're very motivated and still committed to this day to never profit from those whom we serve. So it's a 0% interest mortgage. And in most markets here in the United States, again, here in Broward, none the same, all the same, we also require no cash down payment. And so those two things is what gives a family just a tremendous hand up, so that then for the 30 years, they're only paying back the cost of the house. So on average in Broward County, we're selling 4-bedroom, 2-bath homes, brand new. So this is no different than any other, say, non-luxury market rate housing. That's a very nice house anywhere in Broward, right? So a 4-bedroom, 2-bath house, we're selling on average for about $145,000. So with 0% over 30 years, that's all they're paying back with no amortization schedule. We're also not requiring a down payment. That's what keeps a lot of families trapped in the cycle of poverty. So I can tell you stories. One of the first Habitat homeowners I helped in New Jersey, where I was working with Habitat, she was the first family member in all of her generations to own a home. And so her name was Simone. And Simone is like a lot of Habitat homeowners, hardworking. She had 2 children, only lived in public housing her entire life. She was a cook in a local nursing home. So when you think about Habitat families and who are, you know, these deserving people that we give the hand up to, the reality is they're the fabric in our society. They are the janitors, they're the cooks, they're the teachers, they're the nurses. I mean, and in this case, you know, it was a well-respected nursing home in the community up in New Jersey that didn't matter your social economic status, more than likely grandma went in and out of there at some point, or the elderly person that you love that was there for rehab of this, that, and the other. Well, Simone was the cook in that kitchen to be able to serve grandma or mom or dad or grandpa while they were recovering in that nursing home. So Simone, she was so adorable. It was during the summertime, and we told her, listen, about September, you know, Labor Day weekend, we're going to finish your home and you're going to own it. And it can take anywhere from 8 to 10 months for us to complete a Habitat house. And I'll never forget it. And as you can imagine, I tell this story all the time. You know, Simone just kind of like dropped her hands down her knees, and she says, "Are you telling me that I get to move into my house Labor Day weekend?" And I'm like, "Yes, Simone." And she's like, "You're telling me that I'm going to be at home Labor Day weekend?" And so I didn't quite understand the significance of this, right? And so finally she goes, "So you're telling me for the first time I get to have my own backyard barbecue?"
Oh, can you imagine?
Can you imagine?
No.
So you and I grew up in a home. I didn't grow up with means. I certainly never grew up with a silver spoon in my mouth. But for most Americans, for most of us, to not fully understand and therefore what a Habitat house or the opportunity of home ownership means, like, in the way I was raised, I mean, I at least had a backyard. I had a backyard. And so, but for this single mother of two young children, she grew up her entire life having never experienced what it would feel like in terms of her own strength, her own self-reliance, her own empowerment, her own independence, of what it would be like to throw out an invitation to all her family and say, come over to Simone's for a backyard barbecue. And so, you know, how do you put a measure on that? You know, oftentimes in this day and age with nonprofits, and you interview them all the time, don't you? I mean,
Absolutely. We
want to measure impact. We want to be able to demonstrate that we're making a difference with the people served. But qualitatively, what does that do to that, you know, nursing home cook for the first time of her life to be able to invite people over? And even years ago, thereafter, we were helping this African family. So they were immigrants from Senegal. And I'd never forget talking to the children and saying, so you're going to get to move into your home, you know, next month. What are you looking forward to? And if you could just picture this with me, with these big, beautiful African smiles, they just smiled at me.
Oh.
And they just kind of, you know what? I mean, it was just such a big question to them. They literally didn't know how to answer it. No, seriously, what are you looking forward to? And just, and again, with a little bit of humility and humbleness, you know, big smiles. And so finally out of the daughter's mouth, she says, I'm looking forward to my own bedroom. And so to this family, they were living in a one-bedroom apartment, a family of five. So one-bedroom apartment. And that is the situation for most of these families in whom we're serving. They just have never been given the opportunity because the cost burdens, even to live right here in Broward County, are so high. But they're hardworking, working multiple jobs, and that's what Habitat does. Gives them that hand up, not a handout. It's not charity, to be able to realize their dreams.
Well, Jeremy, thank you so much. We're going to take a quick break, and I want to get back to you in just a moment. Thank you so much, Habitat for Humanity.
My pleasure.
Hi, I'm Judith Light. So there you are. It's flu season, and you're over 65 like me. You're having another busy year. So much to do, so many roles in life to play. But you feel like you might be forgetting something serious. Your annual flu shot. And before you know it, it's too late. It's not just the aches, fever, and chills that last for days and days. The flu can be life-threatening, especially if you have chronic conditions like diabetes and heart disease, which can worsen with the flu. Being active and healthy alone won't protect you. The immune system weakens with age, making you more susceptible to the flu. If you're over 65, ask about your vaccine options, including one made specifically for us. An annual flu shot is the best way to help keep the flu away. Visit the National Council on Aging at ncoa.org/flu to learn more and talk to your doctor or pharmacist about vaccine options for people 65 and older. Again, that's ncoa.org/flu.
Welcome back, community. This is so wonderful. I'm on the edge of my chair. It's just been fantastic hearing from Jeremy, and an honor to have you and all that you do for so many, many people. And I just want to wrap things up. We'll talk about how do we get in touch with you? What if we want to donate? Can we help build a house? What are the qualifications for somebody to get a home? So maybe we can touch on a few of those aspects of Habitat for Humanity.
Sure. Yeah. Well, in this digital age, of course, the best way to be able to get in touch with us is on our website. That's simply habitatbroward.org.
Easy.
So
thank you. Habitat anybody, Broward.
Yep. Or even habitat.org if you want to be able to look to see what Habitat's doing internationally as well as nationally. Locally in Broward, just to mention a couple opportunities for people to get involved is, first of all, our ReStore. So we do have a Habitat ReStore in Broward County. It's at 505 West Broward Boulevard, right in downtown Fort Lauderdale.
I bet that's so busy. I mean, the ones that I've gone to and I've gotten some things are super busy.
It's a treasure hunter's dream to walk into a Habitat ReStore.
Yesterday, my girlfriend showed me her cocktail table. She said, Kara, I got this at ReStore, and all I did is spray paint the bottom. She was like so proud of her table, and it was a win-win. She won, the store won. It's great.
And locally, we have a great partnership with City Furniture. So they donate about three truckloads to our local store in Fort Lauderdale a week. And so week to week, you have no idea what you're going to find in a habitat restore. So there are 898 restores in the United States. So we're one of those. And we happen to be one of the nation's top most profitable restores. Again, 100% of the proceeds from the restore helps us to build the 20 homes a year that we build here in Broward County. So we build about 20 houses a year in Broward here in South Florida. So Habitat Restore is a great opportunity for people to donate brand new or gently used furniture. One of the biggest items that we sell that people don't think of is kitchen cabinets.
So it's the second highest
category nationally sold is kitchen cabinets. Save them from the landfill. Talk to your GC, arrange that they're going to be gently, we'll come pick them up. That's the reality. If you have furniture, kitchen cabinets, the second item that's big value to us is hurricane shutters. So if you are installing your hurricane impact windows, don't throw away those shutters. Donate them to Habitat Restore. People flock to them. If you think about even just the low-income community that we serve, it's a discounted way for them to be able to protect their homes. And then, of course, lighting, there's furniture, appliances, all these things. And again, 100% of the proceeds of the restore benefit. So that's, again, located at 505 West Broward Boulevard in Fort Lauderdale.
It's funny you mention that because we just moved into a new home, speaking of homes. And, of course, the most important room in our house for my husband is the garage.
The garage.
And so it was a blank slate of which he went to restore.
Yeah.
And got these gorgeous cabinets that we have in our garage.
Yes.
They're great. Love them.
And so
you just remembered. You just brought that to my attention.
We keep a metric even nationally in terms of the how much of tons of garbage we save.
Oh,
garbage we save from the landfills. And it's recycling. It's definitely a green alternative to not throwing away your stuff. And we make a lot of money on it.
Yeah.
And it fuels our mission. It's a very sustainable source of revenue. And as you know, interviewing nonprofits, it's so hard to be able to find that. So the second opportunity, of course, is to come volunteer. Swing a Habitat. Bring your company. Bring your business. We have wonderful local businesses and corporations that are sponsors of our homes. So this past weekend, the JM Family Foundation of JM Lexus and all of those auto groups, this year they sponsor 4 homes with us. So even last Saturday, 80 volunteers from JM came out and built those 4 homes in Pompano Beach. So companies, businesses, individuals are always more than welcome to come volunteer with us. That's what people associate Habitat for as well, is just come swing a hammer or a paintbrush and do good, right?
I did. I had a pink helmet and a purple shirt up in, I was in Boynton Beach.
Nice.
Helped build a house and I'll never forget it.
Never forget it. And volunteers say to me all the time, because this is true, you know, you volunteer one day on a Habitat house, for a lifetime, you can pass that house and say what?
Yeah.
I built that house.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
I do remember, I think I was on the roof, actually. My girlfriend and I were up on the roof. That was pretty interesting. But yeah, you're
so
right.
So unskilled labor,
unskilled,
all skills,
me, yes.
No skill,
no
everything
skill.
In between. We welcome volunteers.
I can attest to that, yeah.
And then, of course, lastly, I mean, we appreciate people's donations. The impact that we make on families, I'm always emboldened to be able to represent their needs and ask people. Because even in terms of building Habitat houses, it's not on volunteer labor alone do we build these houses. These are very real costs to us as it relates to the land acquisition, the permitting in Broward County. I mean, we have to follow all the rules and regulations and codes of any other residential. So best way to achieve that, to support us, of course, we'd love to have your donation, and that can be done right on our website.
So are you having any, like, in terms of challenges, you said land acquisition, 20 houses a year. I'm wondering, is there still land available to continue this 20 houses a year in Broward?
Yeah, you know, we're achieving that in two ways. Number one, we do purchase land on the open market. So that's where people's donations, cash donations to us help a long way. But also, we partner with a lot of municipalities that they donate their properties to us. And that, of course, is a huge hand up that we need to be able to serve families. So On one hand, this year, 2018, we're starting our largest project to date in Pompano Beach. So we're starting a 77-home project in Pompano Beach, and it's called the Rick Case Community because Rick Case Auto was the major contributor to be able to help us purchase that property. Yay, yeah.
Let's get a car from Rick Case Auto. That's awesome, right?
Got to support those. I'm not afraid to benefit, you know, and be able to support that. And then on the other hand, the four JM homes that I referred to, those were on four pieces of property donated to us by the city of Pompano Beach. So those homes that are under construction now represent our 109th home in Pompano Beach alone. So Habitat Broward has completed 413 homes in Broward County. And of course, that number is going to go way up even with completing our 77 homes. But right now, we're still looking for sponsors for those 77 homes.
Have you ever, and I know we have to wrap up, but just quickly, have you ever had a situation where the family has had difficulty making the monthly, where you've had to, I'm sure that would help with donations as well, if to kind of kick in if there was a little bit of a monthly.
Yeah, and see, that's the advantage that we have to be the mortgage lender.
True.
We're able to step in and be really compassionate and gracious, be able to restructure things and keep them in their home. Yeah,
Jeremy,
that's a good question.
Thank you, thank you, thank you for all the work you do for this community. We're so grateful that you're doing the fine work, and thanks for coming in today.
I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
You've been listening to the Forum for Nonprofits, presented as a public service of the Beasley Broadcast Group, hosted by a representative of the Spirit of Giving Network. To volunteer for the Spirit of Giving Network, call 561-385-0144. And tune in again next week for the Forum for Nonprofits. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of the station, its staff, management, or sponsors.